Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard on this Wednesday. Elliot will join the show coming up at 1 o'clock. He was just at that press conference. We may be able to clear someone of wrongdoing there. We'll get to that coming up here. But, Hugh, we had a wild card weekend in the NFL. Now we look forward to division round weekend. Hugh, has your mind changed, your feeling changed at all on the Eagles' chances after watching the way they played against the Packers and the way everything else played out, including the Rams now the opponent? Did it change the way you feel about the Eagles' chances to win it all?
Mm-mm, not at all. I'm still excited about it, man. As a matter of fact, I called some kinfolk down there in Texas to try to get some banana pudding when we get to Louisiana. See if they'll make the trip. I am unwavering.
So you think they're going to bring us banana pudding? That's a big deal.
I'm thinking because, you know, it's not that far away. I got to figure out if my cousin, I'm telling everybody's name like y'all know what I'm talking about. But if Omar's there, Omar will bring it because okay. Omar probably come hang out in Louisiana with us, especially if we go down there and we turn up. So he'll probably come hang out.
That's the agenda to me.
Oh, I got to listen.
Omar, banana pudding.
Yeah, and I got some friends that live in Louisiana. You know, we're going to get a couple po' boys. You know, we got, I'm making plans. I've been calling people. I'm networking this thing. Don't you worry, Joe. I got you.
What's that drink?
We get some hand grenades.
Hand grenades, po' boys, and the pudding.
Banana pudding.
Sounds like a trip to me.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to that spot where they put the mask on and everything. We're gonna get off into some weird stuff.
That one we may have to just relax.
They got thick wood, hard. They got no, but it should be a fun outing. It really should be a fun outing. It really, really should be.
So look, here's where I'm at, and I look that would be amazing, and the Eagles are two wins away from that trip to New Orleans that Hugh just laid out what we could be doing down there. But I'd be lying if I said I feel better about the Eagles' chances after watching the first weekend of the postseason. So a couple things: one, pass game again was very blah, to put it lightly. Shio Kapati had a stat this morning that over the last 10 years, there hasn't been a single winning quarterback in the playoffs to be to play at the level Jalen did. In fact, every other winning quarterback the last 10 years was more efficient than Jalen Hurts was in the Eagles' win this past Sunday than, you know, moving forward. Like, we have never seen this in 10 years, a quarterback play to that level of efficiency and win the game. So I can't get that out of my head. Also, the Los Angeles Rams looked really good on Monday, and they've looked good for the past month. They haven't allowed double-digit points. And we're talking about our defense, and we went back and forth all week about 17 points per game with the Eagles' defense and how great they have been. The Rams haven't allowed more than 10 in a month now. And I don't exclude week 18 because they were resting their starters. So they're coming in red hot. So I have an Eagles offense not so great right now. Rams coming in red hot. And I look around the NFL, and in most of these games last weekend, the better coach quarterback combination won. And on Sunday, we had that. Even with the up and down passing game, Sirianni and Hurts right now are better than LaFleur and Jordan Love. Moving forward, I don't know how many more times we're going to be able to say that, including this weekend with McVay and Stafford. Look, the Eagles should win this game, but I don't feel better than where we were a month ago, or even a week ago. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Kyle, how you feeling today as the Eagles get set for the division round? We just heard Sirianni speak. Do you feel better about where the Eagles are at than you did, let's say, before last weekend began?
Definitely not better. I mean, I need to see a much better offensive performance next week before I jump fully back on board with, like, my whole, you know, the Eagles should win the Super Bowl thing. I just feel like a better team lines up against you than the Packers Sunday, and we're sitting here just talking about, you know, we're picking up the pieces of a complete colossal failure of a season. So, like, that's how poorly I feel the offense played. So I that's the one thing that I think is holding me back from, like, fully diving in. I'm not saying I don't expect it next week. I kind of do, actually. I expect the offense to look much better, but just to ease my concerns to a massive degree, I need to see that next week.
Well, I do too. And then on top of everything, between the Eagles passing game being down, the Rams looking like they're playing their best football season, And the fact that most of these games this past weekend, the better coach quarterback combination won. We also lost to Kobe Dean. And we just had the discussion, and Sirianni brought it up yesterday. Fangio brought it up that maybe Jeremiah Trotter's ready to get some snaps here, and he'll be in along with Oren Burks. Whoever it is, though, Nkobe was playing really well. I mean, first of all, I'm bummed for him because he's been through so much. But second, I'm bummed for the Eagles defense because they have been playing amazing football. And Hugh, you seemed to think earlier in the show that, you know, we shouldn't expect a downfall or a downgrade without Nkobe. And I think they can overcome it, Hugh. But that he had been playing really well. It's not just like some player. Like Nkobe, I think he had ascended to playing really, really good football.
He did, man. And it's unfortunate that he's not going to be out there. But I think that there are certain things that you can do. You're going to probably have to go run it, linebacker by committee, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. But these two young men have been groomed to do this. And they have different skill sets from what I've seen. I'm very confident in Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because I know his father. And I've told this story many a times where, you know, Trot would tell me, you know, if I trusted him to do certain things, then I would have more success, just to, you know, dumb it down just a little bit. And I feel like he's taking that same time to teach his son about the intricacies of playing at this level so that the moment is not overwhelming for young Trotter. And that's why I'm confident in it, because I know his father and I know what kind of time his dad put into his preparation as a player. So I would expect that he would put just as much or pour even more into his son so that he could have success. So, yeah, that's why I'm sitting here, man, and I'm very confident about the way that Trotter's going to play. Now, that's not me saying that he's not going to make mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I feel like the mistakes that he makes, he's going to learn from on the fly, and he's not going to make the same mistake twice. He has tremendous instincts as a linebacker. I saw that in college, man. And like I said, haven't talked to Trot in a while, but I just feel strongly about his father helping him prepare for this moment.
And he'll be tested. I mean, there's no question in my mind. Like McVay is going to, whoever it is, right, whoever is on the field, Burks or Trot on whatever, you know, play it is and drive it is, that's, you're going to test him. He's the new guy. They just lost a starter. The green dot guy, the guy that called the signals, they're going to test that spot now. And it's the first time in a while that there's a kind of a new variable on this Eagles defense, because they have been playing together and mostly healthy for a long period of time this year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines. And then I've got some hypothetical spreads for next week. Let's say the Eagles move on. What would they be against the Lions in Detroit? What would they be if the Commanders pull the upset? How big of a favorite would they be over the Commanders here in Philadelphia? I'll hit you with those in a second. First, though, let's go to Russell, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Russell?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all today?
What's going on, man?
Trying to keep it real. You know, the Rams are hot. They've been, you know, the last month they're, you know, stepping up. And it ain't how you start the season, it's how you finish. You know, December, January football. And you know, the concern is if they put 8 in the box and commit to, you know, shutting down Saquon, 131 yards passing ain't going to cut it. You and I both know that, you know, McVay is going to bring it, and Trotter is going to be tested. And sure, you know, if you're going to make a mistake, but this is the time of year a mistake could cost you the rest of the season. I mean, it's just plain and simple. You got to play mistake-free football come playoffs. And he who can capitalize on the other team's mistakes are probably going to come out victorious. And I know everybody's sleeping on that team up in Washington, but you know, they're wanting the rematch with you guys. But if y'all don't pick it up, y'all not getting past the Rams.
Can I ask you a question, Russell? Since you dropped these dimes on the show, did the Rams defense get bigger? Did they get bigger over the last couple of weeks? They've been playing well. I give you that. But did they get faster? They got faster.
They got faster.
Okay, I give you that. But they're not big enough, and they shown that the way that we play football, we play big boy football when we went to L.A.
And absolutely.
And the weather is going to be in our favor. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah, but if we stay true to our game plan and we play the way that we know how to play, we play physical Eagles football. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but everything that you talked about, I think, is going to be null and void because of the simple fact that we are bigger and we're more physical than that defensive line of the Rams.
They say,
you know what I think of? And Russell, good phone call, man. Hugh, I think about that game in L.A. and how it started. We know how it finished, right? The Eagles ran all over them down the stretch, and Saquon, you know, got 300 total yards, over 200 rushing. That was the night he really became an MVP candidate, and we all went crazy. But I think about the start. So, Hugh, I was thinking about it this morning. So that game started with the Rams got the ball first, right? Eagles deferred, and they went right down the field, and they fumbled. And then the next possession, they went right down the field, and I think they got a field goal. So, like, they moved the ball the first two possessions. Mm-hmm. If my memory serves, they only got three total points out of it. And then our defense kind of clamped down, and they didn't do much else. It feels like I hear your point and how much bigger and physical we are. And I think if the Eagles could get the lead again or it's close, we'll wear them out. What I think is so important this week is we can't – if we fall behind, I think their speed on defense, it changes the equation. Right? They could be more in pass defense.
But I look at it like this, Joe. Again, the Rams are unique in the sense that they're going to come in and they're going to try to throw the football. And as we've seen over the past couple of weekends, teams that do that outside – because Matt Stafford's a different quarterback. But teams that try to do that, they haven't had that much success. So – again, you're playing the laws of averages right now, in my opinion. Because if I'm going out there, if you're trying to throw the ball all around the schoolyard to have success in order to beat us, that's not – to me, that's not a good game plan. Because your receiver – Cooper Kupp is not the guy that he once was. Puka Nacua, I'm assuming that – and I might be wrong – that this is the first time he's going to play in something this inclement weather. And like I said, man, when you are not used to playing in this – you don't want to be touched by nobody. And this Eagles defense is going to do a whole lot of putting hands on people in order to get, you know, to will their outcome on them this weekend. And it's going to be cold. So that's something where, you know, you're throwing the ball as much as you're throwing it because your running game isn't there. Then you're putting the ball in harm's way, in my opinion. And I think that's going to work well for the Eagles going into this game. Because of this, we run the ball. And we know our quarterback isn't playing well. But like I've been saying for the last 3 years that I've been on this station, your biggest asset in the playoffs is a strong running game. And if you take away the little bit of running game that the Rams have and you force them to throw the ball, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be some flubs. There's going to be some mishaps because that's a whole lot of throwing the football in the playoffs, dog. It really, really is. And the weather's going to start.
Especially if the weather's not good.
Yeah, man, and the weather's going to be cold. If you take away that one aspect of the game from them because they don't run the ball well, then that's a whole different ball game.
Yep. The other thing we got to do on Sunday better than we did last Sunday is tackle. The Eagles have become a great tackling team. This past Sunday, they missed more than normal. That we can't have that, especially against Nacua, because then he'll make some big plays. All right, before we head back to the phones here, and we got to get Hugh's reaction to a viral story that's taken on a life of its own here. Hugh, I'm looking at over at FanDuel hypothetical spreads for next week. All right, let's play it out. Let's say the Eagles move on and they're in the NFC Championship game. I have in front of me right now what the Eagles would be against the Lions in Detroit and what they would be at home against the Commanders. Hugh, which one you want to hear first? On the road in Detroit or here against the Commanders?
I want to hear the one in Detroit.
Okay. If the Eagles are in Detroit next week, the look ahead, they're calling it a hypothetical matchup, obviously, because it's not set yet. But the Eagles right now are put as a 2.5-point underdog against the Lions.
That's not bad. I thought it was going to be like 6, but that's not bad.
Oh.
No, I don't know the damn stat line or whatever, the bet line. I just thought it would be 6.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 maybe.
Yeah.
But it's 2.5. So that tells me they think it's about a coin flip game. Lions, slight advantage with the home field. Hugh, if the Eagles are at home next week, if the Commanders pull off an upset this Saturday and they're the opponent, the Eagles on the hypothetical line are 6.5-point favorites over the Washington Commanders.
Oh, so I had it reversed. Gotcha, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad.
So 6.5 over the – actually, before the show, I threw these at Kyle. Kyle nailed these. The official Kyle Quinn lines, I guess.
I'm a sharp.
Similar to the sharp Quinn over here?
I'm not sure if you knew that about me, but I set a lot Kyle Quinn hypothetical spreads. I was doing that a lot last year. I thought I did a really good job.
What did you make of them, Kyle? What did you make of it?
I mean, considering that I hit them right on the head, I think they're – pretty much appropriate. The Lions minus 2.5. And I think if you look at the, it would be Lions versus Rams hypothetical spread. That's also Lions 6.5 against the Rams, which kind of tells me they view the Lions and Eagles pretty equally. But the difference in that matchup, the -2.5 comes from the Lions being in Detroit.
Yep. And the Commanders won. Look, that would be wild if we get a home title game. And look, at that point, you couldn't overlook the Commanders. I mean, heck, they'd be in the title game. But that's the numbers right now. Eagles 2.5 over the Detroit, or underdogs in Detroit. All right, before we go back to the phones, Hugh, we need your reaction to this. So this became a viral story over the past couple days. We've all seen it by now, right? So you have the fan in the crowd at the Link on Sunday, and he yelled some awful stuff at a pair of Packers fans, including a woman. The video was out there. His name was put out there. I don't think we need to put his name out there and keep talking about his name, but his name was put out there, and it obviously got back to who he was. People found him. So it was a big thing to go and find this guy and say, hey, this guy, he was wrong in what he did, and I agree the word he said he shouldn't use. But Hugh, the story has taken on now a twist, because now – the Packers fans that came, sounds like they like to go to opposing games and YouTube page, and maybe they look, I don't know what happened, but the sense is maybe they were part of the instigation before the nonsense occurred.
I mean, that's a possibility. That happens. But still, you have to choose not to engage. And I know I sound like a hypocrite right now, because I engage all the time on Twitter so much so that I've gotten in trouble for it. But that's neither here nor there. You can't – when you know it's a setup, man, you just got to back off when you know it's a setup. And that's basically what it was. I saw the video. They were like, you know, online, people are talking about how this guy was wronged and how his life's been ruined. I don't see it that way. I really don't, because you make the choice. The last interaction that I saw – and you're right, I didn't see the whole clip and how it started, anything like that. But I did see the interaction where – unsolicited, he called that lady out her name when she was looking ahead, watching the game, and he took it upon himself to call her that name. And that part was unsolicited. Whatever had happened before, the conversation was deaded. Nobody was saying anything to anybody. And I guess when the Eagles scored or whatever, you leaned over and you called the lady out of her name. That there's no excuse for that. And you have to know. Who doesn't know in this day and age? Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody's cell phone has a camera. Everybody is looking for that viral moment. We live in a world and a society right now where when we go out in public, if we get into, say for instance, even I know this, as petty as I am, if I get into an altercation, say I'm at Chicken and Pizza, somewhere like that, that's a moment that could potentially go viral. And there'll be some consequences for that. Regardless of what happened or what was said to me or anything like that, I know that that moment has the potential to go viral. That's why even when I'm out, I try to be aware of my surroundings at all times, and I try to compose myself in a way where I don't put myself in that situation, because I know, you know, I don't know how to act. I mean, I know that about me. I know I don't know how to act. So I try to stay out of those situations, because everybody has a phone. And every time that I have a retort or I say something slick to somebody and they keep going, there's a good chance that however I feel about that moment, that is not going to go in my favor. That's just about it. That's just how it is. And for whatever reason, this is what I find crazy, Joe, about all of this, is that for some strange reason, these cats go to the game. They put their little Eagles gear on. And they act a whole donkey. They drink all the liquor they want to drink, and they act a fool at the game. And for whatever reason, they feel like they're invincible and ain't nobody going to find them if they act a fool. And it has been proven time and time again that they will find you. Somebody will find you.
Oh, those days are over, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Somebody will find you.
Right, whether it's a GoPro or it's just a regular, whatever, iPhone, like everyone has a camera everywhere. The crazy part is that in 2 days it went from, let's get that guy, and his name got out there and he's got consequences and it's his own fault for what he said, and now people are mad at the Packers fans who came in. It's a crazy story. Yeah, Hugh, for you, we just want you to go viral for the things you say on this show.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it, man. Yeah. I tell you, because it's funny, because people, there are people out there that they live for, I guess, the drama. Because there's been times, listen, there, like, this is the truth. There's been times that people have said something to me, and I've retweeted it or I've posted it. And when I post it, people will tweet me and give me the address and the information about that person. I don't act on it, but I'm just saying that's just how, like, there's nothing that you do nowadays, and you have to realize this, there's nothing that you do nowadays that will keep you from being anonymous. Like, seriously, you could sit there, you could call, like, you could call people out their name, you could say all this other stuff, but if somebody really puts forth the effort, you are not hard to find. And you need to realize that and just chill out. Just chill out.
Yeah, I think that's been shown this weekend for sure. This whole story is wild. I mean, just from the beginning to the end now, it has all these wacky layers. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop on. Coming up, we'll get to everyone's phone call in the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to have to ask Elliot, and we'll get to the bottom of someone working blue at an Eagles press conference. Did this past weekend make you feel better or worse about an Eagles Super Bowl run? That's coming up. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.